I identify myself as a Bible-believing, unashamed follower of Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible, I follow Jesus, and I'm not ashamed to say so. The answer is not in the next election. The answer is not in Washington, D.C. The answer to America's problems is in the pulpit and the pews of America's churches. That's what we do here daily on Bob Burney Live. We listen, we think, and then we look at the Word of God, evaluate it, and develop our worldview from God's point of view.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and may not be the views or opinions of the staff, management, or advertisers of WRFD.
Isn't it strange how that you take two pieces of material, you can take wood, you can take plastic, you can take anything, and you can put them in any configuration until you put them perpendicular to each other and make a cross? The Word of God. Read it. Obey it. That is the answer to America's problems.
Call 1-877-BOB-LIVE. Bob Burney Live.
And welcome to Bob Burney Live on this Tuesday afternoon. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining me today. It is, well, it's a chilly fall day in Ohio, pretty typical, but I am absolutely delighted that you are on that side of the microphone. My telephone number to reach me on this side of the microphone is 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. There is some breaking news that involves Ohio, and I mean, this is breaking news, so I'm just reading it right now. I'll try to look further into it, but here is the headline. CVS, Walgreens, and Walmart contributed to the flood of opioids in two Ohio counties, a federal jury says. Again, quoting, the first-of-its-kind decision could serve as a litmus test for thousands of similar cases against pharmacies in sprawling litigation over the U.S. opioid crisis. This decision was just handed down by a federal jury. Dave Yost, our Ohio Attorney General, was certainly involved in this, believing that CVS, Walgreens, and Walmart were not careful, were not cautious, were somewhat cavalier in the distribution of opioids, and they contributed to the opioid crisis here in Ohio. And as the news story states, there are thousands of similar cases across America. This could be the beginning of something absolutely huge. As I said, I'll try to look deeper into this as we go through the program, but that is breaking news. First time ever that a federal jury has found a major pharmacy guilty in the distribution of opioids. We will we'll see where this goes. And then, oh my goodness, my home state of California, there is no wonder that so many people are moving out of California. And as I've said, please forgive me for being repetitious, but here's what I honestly don't understand. The standard of living in California continues to decline. San Francisco is a pit any longer. Used to be such a beautiful, wonderful place. You'd want to go and visit San Francisco. Not anymore. Not any longer. Taxes are through the roof. Gasoline is higher in California than any other state in America. Housing costs have made it almost impossible for the average citizen to actually own a home. Businesses are leaving California because of the high taxes. And crime is going through the roof. And yet, the people of California are dumb enough to continue reelecting the politicians that have brought this incredible crisis to the state. I mean, you would think that reasonable people would look at what's happening in their state, the mass exodus of people leaving California, the homeless situation, which is almost indescribable all over the state of California, rising crime, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You would think the people of California would say, you know, the people that we have elected the last 20, 25 years, they're not really helping us. Things are not getting better. Every election, they promise this and they promise that, and yet things just continue getting worse. Maybe we should go in a different direction. But they don't. They don't. It is amazing. Now, what brought about that little diatribe? Here's the headline from today. Bay Area is hit by third consecutive day of brazen looting. And we're talking brazen. It is now becoming somewhat common in California, San Francisco Bay Area, and other places where 30, 40, 50, 60, maybe 80 gangs of young people with hammers, axes, burst into primarily high-end department stores and just clean it out. They got hammers, they break the cases where the jewelry is, where the expensive purses are, and so forth, and they leave. Quote, the San Francisco Bay Area faced a third consecutive day of brazen shoplifting on Sunday. A group of about 40 to 50 teenage looters wielding hammers smashed glass cases at a Hayward jewelry store, ran off with an unknown amount of goods. The suspects then went into the Southland Mall, walked away with clothes and shoes, etc. About an hour later, a group of primarily teens in San Jose entered a Lululemon's store in the outdoor mall at Santana Row. Nordstrom's in nearby Walnut Creek. About 80 shoplifters entered the Nordstrom with hammers, axes, and so forth. And by the way, in that Nordstrom shoplifting spree, some employees were actually injured. And then there was a Louis Vuitton store in San Francisco's Union Square that was targeted. And the list just goes on and on and on. I'm looking at a map. The headline, Bay Area Hit with Multiple Robberies. Now, there are two things going on here, all right, in my opinion. All right, I'm going into editorial mode. And as you know, I try to let you know when I'm leaving facts, 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 and I'm going into opinion editorial. In my opinion, two things are going on here. Number one, the laws that have been passed in California, as well as other places, making shoplifting a minor misdemeanor, which means that police can't even arrest anyone because it's not really worth it to arrest them. The reduction in bail in many places, no bail. If you shoplift, commit even a felony, there is no bail. So you get arrested, you're released, and you just run and hide. But I think most importantly, sadly and tragically, the majority of these looting sprees are occur with black teenagers. And I don't say that except in great sadness. And I think the reason for that is the liberal left and the radicals. I mentioned this on yesterday's program. The liberal left, the radicals, and now Black Lives Matters and left-leaning politicians, white, black, and every other color, have now for several years told black young people, the white man is your enemy. The white man keeps you down. As long as there are white people in power, as long as there are white people in Congress, as long as there are white people down at the city hall, you'll never be able to do anything because they keep you down. It's the old thing of the man. I remember back in the 60s, the whole hippie thing, rage against the machine, rage against the man. And so these young people have been told, because of your heritage, because of your color of your skin, because of slavery 150 years ago, these things actually belong to you, but they've been stolen by the wealthy, powerful white people. And so the logical thing to do is go steal what's yours. Those white people, they didn't work for it. They got all that stuff just because they're white, because of the color of their skin. And because they're white, they have white privilege. They have white advantage. And so young people honestly believe, mistakenly so, but they honestly believe, the only way we're going to get the nice stuff is we're just going to go take it because it's, well, it's ours anyway. And this is what's happening. And I do not put the blame on the shoulders of the kids. I really don't. This is what they've been programmed to do by the liberal progressive left. I honestly, now, are they responsible? Of course they are responsible. But I don't put most of the blame on their shoulders. They've been brainwashed. They've been programmed by the liberal left, that you've got it coming to you. Let's go get some stuff, because it's really ours anyway. And I think it's just incredibly sad and tragic, and it is a lie that continues to be given out by the liberal left. California is the hotbed of this kind of nonsense and sadness.
Bob Burney Live, looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
I had to take a second look at this headline because I thought, no. It happens a lot. Does that happen a lot to you? I see a headline, I see a story, and I go, no. That can't be, no, that's not true. That's a parody. Well, evidently this one is true. The Catholic University of America, which is in Washington, D.C., and it is a pontifical college. Now, the Josephinum here in Columbus is a pontifical seminary under the direct control of the Vatican. The Catholic University of America is a pontifical college. And if I understand that correctly, that means it is under the direct control of the Pope and the Vatican. There are not that many institutions around the world that are under the direct control of the Vatican. Evidently, again, from what I've read, Catholic University of America is one of them in Washington, D.C. Well. They just unveiled a new painting on campus, and it is fashioned after the Pietà. in the Vatican. I have seen the Pietà in the Vatican, and it's unbelievably beautiful. Well, this is not a statue. This is a painting. And it is titled Mama. Well, similar to Italian for Pietà, it is titled Mama. And it portrays George Floyd as Jesus. And Mary, yes, that Mary, the Mary. And if you haven't seen the Pietà, it is a sculpture of Mary holding the body of Jesus after the crucifixion. All right, that's the sculpture. Mary holding the body of the crucified Jesus, you know, kind of in her lap. Well, the painting copies the Pietà, but it's not, well, it's not Jesus in the lap of Mary. It is George Floyd. Yeah, in fact, they have two of them. One in the university's law school and one in the campus ministry office. Here is a quote from a junior who attends the Catholic University of America. He said, "There are many students, faculty, and staff who are concerned about this." You think so? George Floyd being substituted for Jesus? Yeah. Again, this is a junior at Catholic University of America. "There are many students, faculty, and staff who are concerned about this, but there's nothing we can do. And if we sound the alarm, we will be labeled racist." Yeah. There is a plaque on the painting, or below it, or above it, or whatever. The university held a ceremony dedicating the unveiling of the Mama. And the plaque says, "Following the violent death of George Floyd on May 25th, 2020, Lattimore, who is the artist, created this icon. The image is evocative of the Pietà, the mother of sorrows. Mary, Mary, the mirror of justice, hear the cry of all who have known the sorrow of losing a loved one to violence and injustice." Yeah, and students are going, "What?" But we can't say anything about it or we'll be called a racist. Strange world we're living in, folks.